Good morning. I'm very glad to be here. Thank you for having me and my family with you this morning. Now it is 6 o'clock in the evening in Cairo, Egypt. So I think that Keith, your wonderful pastor, and his group are walking in the church right now to start worship with your sister church, Al Talbiya, in Cairo. So Keith will be preaching there. I'm going to be preaching here. Both of us will be sharing the Word of God. The only two different things is that when we arranged this for Keith, we arranged an interpreter. So I don't know if Keith arranged an interpreter here or not. I guess that's no. So you want me to speak in English? Okay. Last night, Sarah called me to ask if I have questions about worship, and I asked her how long I should preach, and she said from 20 to 25 minutes. You know, in our culture, this is not a sermon, it's a meditation. She asked me how long you usually preach. I said 45, 50, and sometimes when we have a revival or a guest speaker, it can go on for about an hour or even sometimes more. But I told her that, you know, thank God we don't use the Middle Eastern preaching style anymore. You know, the Middle Eastern preaching style is found in the book of Acts, chapter 20. Paul went on preaching until after midnight, and he didn't stop until someone dropped dead. So I'm not planning to do that today either. But I'm going to share a simple idea with you this morning called the second touch. And I'm inspired by the mission, the medical mission that you are sending to my country, Egypt, to help people who are poor and sick, and to invite them to experience a glimpse of God's grace. This is what you're doing exactly, what Jesus used to do when he was on earth. And I think now you are given an example of Jesus' ministry and doing and living and serving like Jesus. God bless you all for doing that. Today we're going to talk about a miracle of healing Jesus did while he was on earth. It's from the book of Mark, chapter 8, starting verse 22. It says, they, Jesus and his companionships, they came to Bethesda, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand, led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, do you see anything? He looked up and said, I see people, they look like trees walking around. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home, saying, don't even go into the village. This is the word of God. Lord, my prayer this morning that may the words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing into your sight. Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Jesus performed many, many miracles. And at the end of the book of John, it said that if everything Jesus did was written, it wouldn't be, we wouldn't have enough books to write it down. And Jesus performed his miracles in many different ways. Here, we are in front of one of the miracles that Jesus did something different. And before I speak about that, I want to look at what happened and see that there are several things here we can learn from before I start my main idea. First of all, the people who brought this blind man to Jesus, they brought him to Jesus and asked Jesus to touch him. That tells us, first of all, they know who Jesus is. They trust Jesus. They believe that he can heal this man with one touch, without any medicine. And this is good. It's good to have faith in Jesus. And it's good to bring people who are in need to Jesus and bring Jesus to the people who are in need. And this is what your mission group is doing today. You are bringing Jesus to people and bringing people to Jesus. But these people in our story did something different. They specified the method, the way Jesus should heal this blind man. They depict him to touch him. I guess that they heard before that Jesus touched people and they got healed. So they thought, this is the only way Jesus can do miracles. This is the only way Jesus can heal, touching. But I think they didn't hear about Jesus heal people from far distance with a word. And Jesus healed people not by touching them, but them touching him. Sometimes we bring people to Jesus, but we want them to have the same experience we had. And this is different. Friends, Jesus can do things different from what we experienced and what we know and what we expect. So when we bring people to Jesus, let Jesus handle it his way. He knows what he's doing. So let him handle our situations. So, you know, if you went through something difficult last year and God interfered and he handled it for you, and you went again or you're going again through something difficult this year, don't expect him to do the same thing. He have unlimited ideas. He is very creative, and he will do something new every time you are in need or someone you know who is in need for help from Jesus. And then the Bible says that Jesus didn't start doing miracles right away. He did something strange. He took the man by hand and he pulled him out of the village. Sometimes when we want Jesus to act, to interfere, to solve our problems, but we don't want to change our situation. We don't want to change our location. Maybe this was a comfort zone for this man. You know, we will know later that this was not his village. This blind man was not home at this time. But maybe it was his comfort zone. Maybe this is where his close friends or people who used to take care of him were there. But Jesus wanted, before helping this man, he wanted to take him out of his comfort zone. He wanted to change something in his life. And it says, Jesus took him out of the village. And at the end, it tells us that Jesus told him, don't go back to the village. You know, I helped you, but I want you to go back. I don't want you to go back where you came from. Go home. And I don't know why this man was not in his village, was not in his home. Some suggest that he was rejected or neglected in his own village or in his own home. And Jesus healed him and asked him to go back home so he can witness to Jesus. But no matter what is the reason why this man was not in his village, why he was not in his own home, Jesus wanted him to go back home. And sometimes this happens in the church when we feel neglected or we don't feel that the body of Christ is not helping us or receiving us the way we want or the way we expect. The easier thing to do is quit the church, leave. And this is not what Jesus wants us to do. Jesus wants us to stay home. So when he helps us in our problems, we testify about that in our church. We help other people who have other problems to see what Jesus can do, how Jesus can help us. And then the story goes on. Jesus started the process of healing this man. The first thing he did, the Bible says, he spit in his eye. And friends, no matter what is your medical background, don't do this at home. Please. Don't do this at home. This is Jesus. You know? There are many different interpretations for this. I'm not going to go into it. But this is Jesus, you know. He's a Jehovah Rophi, the Lord who heals. He is the El Shaddai, the God Almighty. He is the Creator. He was giving life. He was like giving life support to this man. He was doing something, giving life from his body to this man's body as a creator. But it didn't work. For the first time, it didn't work. Jesus asked the man, "Do you see anything?" Well, Jesus did his thing. It should work. But the man looked and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." So the man who was blind now is able to see, but he can't see things clearly. He gained his sight, or his eyes was opened, but he couldn't see things clearly. He was looking at the people. You know, those are the very same people who brought him to Jesus. And he couldn't see them clearly. He said to Jesus, "I see them, I see the people walking around like trees." So what Jesus did? The second touch. The second touch. It says, once more, in verse 25, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then, after the second touch, his eyes were opened. His sight was restored. And he saw everything clearly. Clearly. Now, you see, before the second touch, I think I should use this. Before the second touch, the man couldn't see anything clearly. He had a bad judgment on the people around him. And as I said, those were the very same people who brought him to Jesus. So to look at this spiritually, when we first come to Jesus, without and before the second touch, we will have a bad judgment on people around us. We will not be able to see them clearly the same way Jesus can see them. We see people with our own perspective, with our own eyes, not with Jesus' eyes. And this sight and the relationship between the second touch and gaining clear sight spiritually and biblically have many meanings. But before I go to the meaning, I want to share two stories from the Old Testament to shed some light about how it is important to have a clear sight to be able to see everything and everyone and judge everything and everyone clearly. The first story, comes from the book of Judges, Judges chapter 9. And this story come after one of Gideon's sons killed all his 69 brothers. Gideon had 70. And Abimelech killed all his 69 brothers, and he appointed himself king. And the city where he was ruling, he appointed a mayor for that city called Zebul. Now, a man by the name Gaal wanted to have a revolution and free the land from this self-appointed false king, Abimelech. So he wanted to fight him in this city. And Zebul, who was Abimelech's mayor and assistant, and by the way, Zebul is in the Bible is one of the devil's names. Gaal wanted to fight Abimelech, who was the devil himself, and he went asking for help from Zebul, who was the devil's assistant. And Zebul told him, you know what? The best thing to do is stay outside the city gates and camp there overnight. And when they Abimelech come with his army, attack them outside the city. And Zebul told Abimelech about the plan. And now this is what happens. When Gaal saw them, they came to attack them at night. When Gaal saw them, he said to Zebul, look, people are coming down from the tops of the mountains. Zebul replied, you mistaken the shadows of the mountains for men. You see, he told him because he didn't have a good sight. Gaal, who wanted to help the people and free them, took advice and counsel from Zebul, who's assisting the devil. And he was able to deceive him and tell him, what you are seeing is not people coming from the mountain, it is the shadow of the mountains. Of course, you know, logically, mountains don't move. Anything can move but mountains. But he convinced him because he was not seeing everything clearly. When you don't see everything clearly, when you don't have a good sight, you could have bad judgment on your enemies. Who is our enemy? Is it ISIS? Is it Al-Qaeda? Is it Russia? Who is our enemy? Well, the Bible says neither of those. None of those is our enemy. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. Our struggle, our fight is a spiritual one with the evil forces. But when we don't have a good sight, when we don't have a good spiritual sight, we confuse enemies. We fight the wrong enemy. And this is what happened with Gaal. The second story from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6. The servant of the prophet Elijah. What happened is one of the enemy kings heard that every plan they make, the Israelites knew about it. So he asked, do I have a spy in the middle of my men? They told him, no. They have a man there by the name Elisha. He know everything. He know everything, even what you say in your own bedroom. So he sent his army and said, get this man, Elisha, alive or dead. His army went surrounded the city. The servant wake up in the morning. And it says, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early, the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Verse 16, the prophet said, do not be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are against us. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord. See, the servant, he had eyes and his eyes were opened. He could see. He was able to see the army and the chariots and the horses and everything. But he didn't have a spiritual sight. You see, the spiritual warfare around. So the prophet prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes. And he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire. Fire all around Elisha. See, when we don't have this spiritual sight, we don't know who is with us, and we don't know who is against us. And in our spiritual battle, which is happening every day of our life, it's very important to know that who is on our side and who is not. Who is with us and who is against us. Another story from the Old Testament that happened with Paul. After Paul met with Christ on the road to Damascus, the Bible said in Acts 9, verse 7, that the men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. He could see nothing. He opened his eyes, but he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus, and for 3 days he was blind, and he didn't eat or drink anything. Now, I believe that when Paul met with Christ in the road of Damascus, in the first verses of this chapter, Paul was regenerated. He's now a born-again Christian. But he needed the second touch. You know, after he was born again, after he met with Jesus, and I assume we all did that, we met with Jesus, we are born-again Christians, but even until after that, Paul was blind. He was not able to see anything, and he was depending on other people to lead him, to show him the way. And those men were not believers. They could take him anywhere. They could lead him anywhere. Thank God they took him to Damascus, where God prepared a man there to give him the second touch. Now, what is the second touch? What is the second touch spiritually? What does it mean? Well, when we continue the story of Paul in Acts chapter 9, we will get the answer. It says in verse 17, then Ananias went to the house and entered, placing his hands on Saul. See, the second touch. Placing his hand on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, do you get the answer? Do you know what is the second touch? The first touch, spiritually, is meeting with Jesus, giving our life to Jesus, giving Jesus command and ruling over our life. But this is not enough. In Egypt, we say that be born again and go to sleep. This is if you stopped after this experience when you first met with Jesus. You should not stop. You should not go to sleep. But some people do. Some people don't continue to get the second touch. I think most of us believe that I'm born again Christian. I'm going to heaven. So what else do I need? Well, actually, you need everything. You're not there yet. See, Paul met with Christ. He gave him his life to Christ, but he was blind. He couldn't see. He was depending on other people to lead him and to feed him. But when he met with Ananias, he gave him the second touch, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He said that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. In verse 18, it says, immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He gained his sight, and he gained his spiritual sight. And if you continue the story, you will know that Paul was able to walk by himself, was able to eat and drink by himself, not depending on other people. So, what is the second touch spiritually? It is being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the experience of meeting Jesus for the first time and giving him our life, it happens once in a lifetime. But the need to be filled with the Holy Spirit need to happen all the time, over and over again. It's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, do not get drunk on wine, which lead to debauchery, and instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. In the original text, it's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. You have to be filled as a Christian, as a born-again Christian. You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit over and over again. So before the second touch, without the filling of the Holy Spirit and the anointment of the Holy Spirit, we will have bad judgment on everything. Bad judgment on who's our friends, like the blind man. We will not be able to see our enemies, our true enemy. We will not be able to see who is with us and who is against us. And we will not be able to see where we are going, like what happened with Paul. Without the Holy Spirit, we are almost nothing. Charles Spurgeon, famous preacher, said this: without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without wind, or chariots without steeds or horses. Like branches without sap, we are withered like coals without fire. We are useless. As an offering without the sacrificial flame, we are unaccepted. If we can put it in today's language, we are like a car or a vehicle without an engine. We can do nothing. We can go nowhere. But listen to this. What we gain when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. I will share with you a couple of verses and close. And the first one in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 2 and 3. Look at this and meditate in it with me. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on you. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on me. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel. The Spirit of counsel and of might. The Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he who will be filled with the Holy Spirit, he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. I wish I can meditate on this, but for the sake of time, I will read the last text here. Let us meditate on this together. Paul was praying to the believers in Ephesians and said, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Let us pray. Brother, sister, I'd like to encourage you to ask for this gift from your whole heart. Lord, I need the second touch. Lord, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I need the spirit of wisdom. I need the spirit of understanding. I need the spirit of counsel and might. I need the spirit of knowledge. Lord, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so I don't judge things with my physical eyes, with my physical ears. Lord, I need the Holy Spirit to fill me so that I know you better. I know how to serve you better. I know how to love my brothers and sisters better. Lord, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit today and every day so that the eyes of my heart would be enlightened. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill my heart. In Jesus' name, amen.